My condolences and prayer go out to our church here in LA. As many of you know, at our church, not church plant anymore, an SUV, we are in the midst of walking through something tragic as well. And the Lord has played on my heart the last few days. I've been reading through in the 40s of the book of Psalms, and I'm so glad my brother Darren read from chapter 40. And I just this verse came to my mind. I want to read it hopefully as an encouragement for you. Repeated quite a few times in Psalm 42 and 43, it says this: "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God. Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my Savior and my God." And I hope that as you're walking through this time of sadness, that you will hold on to God, that we will hold on to God. Today, I have the privilege of sharing with you a sermon on prayer, and my title is Pray with a Childlike Faith. I think when we come across situations like what we're facing today, what we'll share today, a lot of times it reminds us again that we're not as adult as we think. Right, all through our lives, we tend to think we're adults, we got to figure it out. You know, all through your life, especially those of your youth, you are being told to grow up, to get better, to get more ability, get a job. You know, for those of us who are adults, we're continuing to build up this life and thinking that the more we build up, the more invincible, the more powerful, the more established we are. Yet in Scripture, time and time again, Jesus called us to get back to become like a child. I want to share a story with you, you know, with children. I have, those of you who don't know, I have three boys under the age of 7. And so at our household, we have a lot of fun and a lot of frustration. Kids sometimes say things that will embarrass you, and sometimes they say things that will really trigger you to think deeply about God. I remember a couple years ago when one of my wife's cousin, young cousin, was staying with my mother-in-law's family. And she was very observant, and she saw my mother-in-law wearing similar style clothing, similar color clothing for several days. And so out of the mouth of babe, she says something that is very innocent on the surface. She asks, "Guma, auntie, why do you wear the same thing every single day?" And you know, guess what? The next week, my mother-in-law bought a whole new set of clothes. I remember looking at my wife, I was like, how can this little girl say something like that to my mother-in-law? So embarrassing. But sometimes I think our kids say things that cause us to think deeply. 6 months ago, it was my wife's birthday. So my oldest son, Luke, probably the most tender-hearted out of the three sons we have, decided that asked me, "Hey, Dad, what should we get for Mom?" And that's a good reminder, by the way, for me. So I said, "Why don't we go on Amazon and see what you want to get for Mom?" And so he proceeded to go online and then start clicking and clicking and clicking. And I look at the list, and wow, these are great things. But I look at the price on the item, it kind of keeps going up, and shopping cart is just getting higher and higher. So I proceeded to ask him, "Hey, Luke, do you know how you're going to pay for this?" And he said, "You know what he said? He said, Dad, we just clicked the button. 2 days later, it will come in front of our door." And I said, "Luke, that's not how exactly it works. You know, it kind of connects to your dad's bank account, and your dad's bank account is not unlimited. So while you have a great heart to love your mom, we kind of need to tick off a few items here." And that night, I remember just thinking that conversation. The Lord brought it to my heart and asked me, "You know, your son thinks so highly of you and thinking so much of you, thinking that your bank can go unlimited, but how much do you think about me, your heavenly Father?" You know, as adults, I think we get into this routine. We've been to one too many funerals. We've experienced one too many challenges. We've seen our kids' struggles. And sometimes as an adult, we become too familiar with the earthly reality that we forgot that God did not call us to be spiritual adult, but he called us to be a child of God. Today, we're going to preach from, look at Matthew chapter 11. Interestingly enough, it is part of the Sermon on the Mount. If you have your Bible, please turn there. Matthew chapter 7:7-11. In the Sermon on the Mount, there are two instances that Jesus talked about prayer. And in both instances, he made reference to the Heavenly Father. The Lord's Prayer, which we recited earlier, calls us to pray not to a friend, not to a generic God, but it calls us to pray to our Heavenly Father. And in the passage that we're going to look at, Jesus compares how great our Heavenly Father's love is to us as earthly father. So we're going to take a look today. There are three things I want us to see from this passage, three ways that we can pray with a childlike faith. But before we do, let's turn there and read Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 to 11. Here's what it says, a familiar passage for many of us. Here's what it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks for the bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Here's the first thing we see from the passage. The first way we can pray with childlike faith is by praying genuinely. That we need to come before God without any pretense, that we need to come before him as a child to a father, that we don't need to have special buzzword when we pray and thinking that God will hear us better, that we don't need to craft out this nice poetic poem that we can pray to God, and only then God will listen to our prayer. I'm going to read Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 to 8 again, and what I want you to notice what is not there. Here's what it says. Verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What I want you to notice is that in that passage, it doesn't tell you how to pray. Have you ever wondered about that? Like, Jesus tells us to ask, to knock, and to seek, but he never tells us how. The only instruction he gave us was in the Lord's Prayer earlier in chapter 6. And even then, it was a limited edition. Like most of us who've taught this passage, we say that would be a kind of template, but not limited to praying that prayer. We might teach our kids to pray that prayer, but we know there's far greater than that. And I think there's a simplicity to what God is asking us to do. By asking, seeking, and knocking, he is telling us that everything we pray for, is there's no formula to follow to pray. It ought to be from our hearts. And I'm not saying that we can't use big words or fancy words, because if that is part of your vocabulary, go by all means. If you want to express something deep about God and you want to use certain words and pray, by all means. But what I realize is that a lot of times we made the mistakes of thinking there are certain words that we must use. We need to repeat certain phrases in order for God to really, really listen to us. There's a reason why before Jesus even talked about the Lord's Prayer, right before he talked about it, he put his finger right on the heart of the people. Here's what it says in Matthew chapter 6. When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly, they have received their reward. Jesus is warning us, don't pray because other people would notice you. Don't pray in such a way to draw attention to yourself. And proceed on in verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father, again, who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Furthermore, in verse 7, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for the many words. The Gentiles think, if I just babble some more, if I just repeat a lot of things, if I just say these key buzzwords and phrases, maybe God will listen to me. And Jesus is saying, no, prayer ought to be from our hearts. It cannot be conjured up just for other people to hear. There's a reason why when you read through the book of Psalms, there are all sorts of emotions that arise. In the middle of Psalm 40, there's a lot of anger, there's a lot of frustration. God doesn't want us to hide any of that. You know, both of my sons, when they were younger, when they're 2 or 3 years old, they both have speech impediment. So they both needed to go to speech therapy. And so for us as parents, my concern is not so much that every time when they talk to me, I wanted them to tell me this perfect sentence that has subject, verb, and object. all I cared about as a parent to my sons who can barely speak is that I just want to hear from them. I just want to utter the words, utter the sound, because when he does that, when they do that, I know what they want. I can care for them. I can be concerned for them. The scripture actually tells us that we all, as believers, even us, we have a speech delay, a spiritual speech delay, because in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, here's what it says. It says, likewise, the Spirit helps us believers in our weakness. What is our weakness? For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. There are times that we don't know what to say. There are times that we, like earlier when we're praying, there may be groaning in our hearts. There are pain in our hearts. We don't know what to say. And what God does not want us to do is just to carve out this nice sounding prayer that will sound good on the stage, that will sound good in a prayer meeting. He wants us to come before him, lay before him. Maybe there is only one word that we can say. He said, just pray that. That's how we pray like a child. We pray with open heart, genuinely come before him clean of everything and say, God, this is what I'm struggling with. God, help me. That's the first way that we're called to pray genuinely, without any pretense, without using any buzzwords that we think can get God's attention. God already loves us and gives us his attention. Here's the second way we can pray as we look at the passage. The second way that we pray as a child is by praying desperately. By praying desperately before God, we're coming before him. We're not hiding anything and say, I can pray about this. I can't pray about this. There's too much for God. This is my own life. This part of, I don't need God's help. This part, I need God's help. We are to pray desperately before God as if every single thing depends on God, and it really does. Again, I want us to pay attention to Matthew chapter 7. I will read that passage again. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks it will be opened. I want you to look at the progression of that. The ask, the seek, and the knock. There are things that we can ask of God of what we need, like daily necessity. That's why the Lord's Prayer says, we ask God, give us our what? Daily bread. Are we asking for our daily necessity? Or are we just assuming that we will have them the next day because what I can pay, what I can give, what I can provide for my family? Are we asking God? But then it goes a little deeper. It's not just asking. He says, ask, you will receive, but also seek. Like seeking is a little bit more than just asking. Asking is my son asking me, Dad, can I go out and play? Seeking is when he's asking me, Dad, someone's hurting me at school. What should I do? Who should I turn to? That's seeking. Seeking is for direction. Seeking is, it requires a little more persistence in prayer, wisdom from God in prayer. That's why in the Lord's Prayer it says this, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We need God leading us. Are we praying for God to lead us? Or are we going the other way around and say, God, let me lead you and come alongside with my prayer? That is not a prayer of a child. That's a prayer of an adult. That's what I do with my kids. Kids, listen to what I say. Come alongside because I'm an adult. But prayer of a child says, Father, what do you think is best for me? And I will follow. But not only do we ask for basic necessity, we seek God for direction. Lastly, we pray in such a way that we're knocking. I want to ask you a question. How many of you have knocked on your neighbor's door yesterday? Nobody. The reason why you don't do that is because you don't want to bother your neighbor. I actually don't even remember the last time I actually knocked on my neighbor's door. But I do remember the last time he knocked on my door because I was at home and then my fire alarm went off in my house. So he came, I found out later on, he came to my house and started knocking. Are you okay, Ben? Are you okay? Are you okay? And then later on, he called me, realizing I'm not home. See, knocking requires such persistence. It requires such confidence. It requires a pursuit of God. And say, God, there's something there here that require me to pray and pray and pray. I don't know how you're going to answer, but God, I'm going to pray before you. There's nothing from the smallest thing to the biggest thing that God doesn't want to hear from us. God wants to hear them all. What are you asking? What are you seeking? What are you knocking? He wants to hear all our prayer. That's what a child does. Here's the thing. The key to a better prayer life is not by observations, but by desperation. What I mean by that is that you don't learn to pray better by just reading a bunch of books to pray better. You don't learn better by just watching someone else who pray. You don't learn better by listening to people pray. Those things might help. But what it will really help to for you to come before the Lord on your knees to pray to Him wholeheartedly, desperately, is when you know that you got nothing. See, the moment when we realize I am nothing and I got nothing, then all of a sudden I need to turn to the one who has everything, who can do everything. Now here's a question I want to ask you, and I've been asking myself as I've been praying for this message. Am I desperate for God in all areas of my life? You see, it's easy when things are hard. I think that's why God allows those moments for us to drive us to our knees to a desperation and say, God, I need you. But there are also, I don't believe that is the only moment that God wants us to be desperate with Him. Are you desperate with God with your family? Those of us who have unbelieving family members, those of us who are in strained relationship with our family, are you desperate for God to do something in your family? Or are you just trying on your own to do it? Because that's an adult prayer. A child prayer prays, God, I can't do anything. I need you to do something in my family. Are you desperate in your finances? Or are we just working hard enough that we can get it covered? God, I don't need you in that area of my life. Are you desperate, students? Are you desperate for your schoolwork? Or are you saying, I'm just going to pull an extra all-nighter. All will be well because if I just work a little harder, that's enough. See, God wants us to be desperate because He knows when we are desperate in our lives, in our family, in our work, the next thing we do is we come before this Heavenly Father who is willing to give good things to us, as we will see. But the question is, are we desperate? Or are we acting too much like an adult that we got it covered? We can't do it at all. Here's the last thing. The last one we have is not only do we pray genuinely, but pray desperately. Here's the last one. The scripture tells us in this passage that we're to pray confidently before God. The only reason why we can pray desperately, the only reason why we can pray genuinely is because we come before God and say, I am confident that this God listens to my prayer. I heard Darren make reference to that several times. We have a God who listens to our prayer. That God to blow our mind. He doesn't have to listen to your prayer and my prayer. Think about that for a second. If He so choose to do it and suck all the air out of this room, it doesn't matter how much we have. It doesn't matter how much we work out. We'll all be dead. But we come before Him because we can come confidently before Him because He is our spiritual Heavenly Father. Here, verse 9, here's what it says. I want us to read it right here. It says this, or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? Matthew chapter 7, verse 9 to 11. Now, I don't know all of you here. I know some of you, and I realize that not all of you are parents. But I would go out of the limb and say that most of us here are pretty decent parents. You provide 3 square meals or more. I've seen many parents who are at after-school programs. In fact, last week I was just at a sports camp with my kids, and there are parents sitting out in the sun in a 90 degrees heat waiting for their sons and daughters to finish sports. You make sacrifices. You love your children. You're willing to do all these great things to secure a future for your sons and your daughters. And some of you move from another country to here. You give up a lot. So that people like me, like my parents have done for me, that I could be here to have a good future. But I want you to notice what God, what Jesus has called those of us who are good parents. He says that if you then who are evil, how could Jesus say that we're evil? I think the emphasis of the passage here is not to point out how sinful we are as parents, because yes, we are. There are times I have selfish motive for my kids to do well. But I think what Jesus is getting at is this, that yes, we all know we're evil. But yet, when you compare yourselves to God, when you try so hard to provide for your kids, when you do all these you want to do to provide a bright future for your kids and for your sons, for your daughters, and those of your youth, you think about what kind of sacrifice your parents made for you. And God said, if you think that is great, and yet you're imperfect, you're evil, now how much more would the Heavenly Father, who owns it all, who knows it all, who loves us all, can do for us if we ask him? Said, your Father who is in heaven will give you good things to those who ask. Now my question for us is this, are we praying with such confidence and faith that the God that we believe is really an infinitely powerful God and an immensely personal God? That he is the maker of heaven and earth, that he actually cares about what's going on in your life. And if that is so, are we asking with that type of confidence, or are we just saying that our God is great with our lips, or are we just asking? The phrase that he said is this, your Father who is in heaven, give good things to those. Good things. I'll be remiss if I don't explain this. Good things often don't come quickly. Good things seldom come quickly. I just want to share with you a recent journey that my family has been going through and how we've experiencing this verse. For some of you, you might have heard of that. In an SUV, a couple had passed away and left behind two young boys. And right now they're living with us for a period of time, up to a year, and then we'll continue to pray and see where God leads after that. But what you probably don't know is that 2 years prior to that, my wife and I, under Thelma and Pastor Benny's leadership, and we both have attended the prayer conference up in San Francisco, to which last week you heard Alice Moss have shared and led. We were part of that. We went up, and in fact, we've been twice, I think. And God has really stirred in our heart during that prayer time and revolutionized a lot of our prayer. And one thing we walked away those two conferences, that God wants to do something in our lives, and we just keep praying and praying, God, what do you want us to do? And it wasn't that we're not being faithful to our ministry, but we knew that something needs to be done and something God's calling us to do. So we ask, we seek, and we knock, and God doesn't answer. Fast forward a little bit, February, my wife and I got the opportunity. We went up to San Francisco again, but not with a prayer conference. But this time we were hanging out at the House Church Movement with Francis Chan. And one of the things that God had laid on my heart and my wife's heart is that we need to learn to be radically generous. We need to be radically generous to the people of God. We need to show radical love. And here we are again at that prayer, asking, seeking, and knocking. God, how do you want us to be radically love our people? How do you want to radically love the lost? And my wife, who is a nurse, but she doesn't do bedside nursing anymore, was even considering maybe she should go back to bedside nursing, where she can interact with the people who are in their lowest moment. And at first I was like, no, don't do that, because all of a sudden my schedule will be really crazy and then we won't see you at night. You know, we're three boys at home. But God continued to ask us to pray and pray and pray. And even then, God still didn't answer us. It wasn't until a month ago, on June 22nd, we found out the news of the couple passing away. And all along, every morning, we've been praying and praying, God, would you do something in our lives? We want to serve you, want to love you, want to be radical for you, but we don't know how. Is there something you need us to do? But on that day, that morning, we prayed. We both knew that God is doing something, but we don't know what. But that morning, we found out the couples passed away, and then the boys would be either up for fostering a family. That morning, I didn't want to share with my wife. We prayed because I knew in my heart, the Holy Spirit put in my heart to say, let's bring them into our house. But I didn't want to share with my wife because I didn't know if she was ready for that. It's early in the morning. She's about to go to work. So I figured I'll talk to her later. which we did, because afterwards we met as a pastoral team, and we needed to make a decision by 6 o'clock that day whether someone from our church will take would welcome them in take care of them, be a caregiver for them for a period of time, or they go to a foster home and two boys will be separated. So then after the pastoral staff meeting, I called my wife. I was about to break to her that, hey, we've been praying. I know that the Holy Spirit is putting on my heart. I really need a decision from you now. It's about 4 o'clock. So I give her a call. Before I get my words out, she already told me, hey, Ben, I think we should take those two boys in. And I told her, that's exactly why I'm calling you. Because the Holy Spirit gave the same thing in my heart. And I share this with you not because we did it because we're so generous, we're so loving, we're able. I share this with you because God has been doing good things in the midst of that tragedy. You know, those two boys we've been staying with, now we have 5 boys under the age of 8 in our family. And so half of the day, my 3 other boys are excited. The other half of the day, they're not so excited because there are more people to fight for food, for toys. But here's the thing, my sons have been learning what does it mean to be a servant. They have to share what they have with their two friends. And it's been revolutionizing my life and my wife's life. It drives us to our knees more. We're talking about praying desperately. Every morning we come before the Lord and say, God, I don't know how we're going to find energy for the rest of the day for these boys. I don't know how to pastor our congregation. I don't know how we're going to walk through our people in our church that's going through pain and going through the same thing perhaps so many of you are feeling right now because of tragedy. But you know what? God has been doing a good thing, and we've been waiting for 2 years. We've been waiting and waiting, and God's been accomplishing good things, even though it was a bad situation. Here's my encouragement. Here's my challenge for you. Are you praying genuinely before God? Are you praying desperately with every area of your life as if God depends on, and it does depend on God, and are you praying confidently that God will answer and bring good things to you, though it might take some time, but that he will bring good things to you? We don't know what the future for those two boys are. We are seeking, we're praying, we're knocking right now, we're walking through that right now, but here's my challenge to you. Pray, because we have a Heavenly Father who loves to give us good things that you and I might not even realize that we need. We gotta put our faith in the only one who knows it all, who can do it all. If my son, who trusts me with my bank account, which is limited, let me ask you seriously a question. Is there anything too hard for God to accomplish in your life and my life that will bring glory to Jesus? Don't answer that too quickly. Take some time this week and come before him and pray to him, and God, give me these good things that will bring glory to you. Will you join me in prayer?